30 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Stacy Stein. And joining us on the line right now is Joseph Neguse, U.S. Representative for Colorado's 2nd Congressional District. He's in his first term, and his district includes Boulder, Broomfield, Clear Creek, Eagle, Gilpin, Grand, Jefferson, Larimer, Summit, and Park Counties. Good morning, Representative Neguse. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on, Steve. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much for coming on. What would you like to talk about this morning with your constituents here in Grant County?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll let you guide the conversation. You know, I will say it's a pleasure for me to be able to visit with you today about the work that we're doing in Congress to try to protect folks during this coronavirus pandemic. And, of course, doing everything we can to help people across Grant County and Hot Sulphur Springs and Granby and Frisco down in Summit County and, you know, obviously the Vale up in Eagle and the rest of our district in the Central Mountains to ensure that folks are protected during this economic crisis that we're also experiencing. So,
yes, you have a very broad constituency. What resources are we getting as a result of this disaster declaration?
Also, great question. So, you know, two big things that happened in the last week or so here at the federal level. The first was, as you know, Governor Polis requested a disaster declaration from the White House. We led my office a letter with the rest of the delegation, Republicans and Democrats coming together, requesting that the White House grant expedited approval of that declaration. We were grateful to, sorry about that. You can hear my daughter there who says hello also is 18 months old. We're looking forward to bringing her to Grand County soon. We were grateful to learn on Saturday that our request had been granted. And what that will now do is free up federal dollars to assist during this pandemic, the government, state government's rather response. FEMA is the lead agency. And so we're now working with local government officials, county commissioners, including in your county and elsewhere, to discuss the different resources that they might need and that the resources that the federal government could bring to bear. FEMA has assisted in other states with addressing shortages associated with PPE, personal protective equipment, ventilators, other critical medical equipment, as well as helping build temporary hospitals, emergency shelters, to the extent there is a lack of hospital beds in different parts of our state. So we're working very hard on that front. And then, of course, the second thing that happened was the passage of the CARES Act, a bipartisan bill that passed unanimously in the Senate and passed by voice vote on Friday last week. I traveled back to Washington, D.C., on a red eye on Thursday night to make sure that we could get that bill done the following day. And it includes hundreds of billions of dollars that will benefit Coloradans directly, both through direct cash payments that folks in Grand County, whether you're in Winter Park or Granby or elsewhere, you're going to receive as long as you meet the income eligibility requirements, as well as a small business loan program that is forgivable and in that sense functions as a grant program. I know that so many small businesses on Main Street in Grand County are hurting. We've spoken to a lot of them and working with them closely, as well as the various mayors of the towns within Grand County. And so we're hopeful that this program called the Payroll Protection Program will help small businesses bridge the gap and make sure that they survive during this this crisis that we're all experiencing.
How does the forgivable part work on that?
Great question. So the way it works is if you're a small business, which means you have less than 500 employees and you've been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, you can apply for up to a $10 million loan. And that loan, provided you commit to rehiring your workforce, and that is to say that maintaining the same level of payroll, the loan is forgivable at the end of the term. So it really functions more as a grant. It ensures that the workforce continues to be compensated so that at the end of the day, we ensure that we have robust employment and that the working families are protected, but also ensures that small businesses can thrive without having to worry whether to pay back the monies that that they've been provided by the SBA. You can learn more about the program by going onto our website, neguse.house.gov. We have a webpage that is dedicated to the coronavirus pandemic in terms of resources available, including the SBA's Payroll Protection Program, which is available through regional lenders that are affiliated with the SBA.
Representative Neguse, can you tell us how people get their cash payments?
Great question. So If you are a tax filer, if you filed taxes in tax year 2019 or tax year 2018, you will receive the stimulus checks automatically, provided that you meet the income eligibility requirements.
And do you know what those are?
I do. So if you earn less than $75,000 a year as an individual, you will receive $1,200. If you are a joint filer and you all earn as a couple less than $150,000, you will also receive that benefit. However, you in addition will receive $500 for children to the extent that those children are identified as dependents on your prior tax returns. For those who don't meet those income eligibility requirements, the amount of the stimulus is reduced on a pro rata basis, so essentially by $5 for every $100 above the income eligibility requirement, up to a cap. In the case of joint filers, I believe the cap is $190,000. But again, if you go to our website, you can access a very easy calculator that helps you determine what stimulus check or emergency relief check you will receive. If you filed your taxes electronically in 2019, or for that matter, 2018, and received your refund via direct deposit, or for that matter, sent in your taxes, tax liability electronically, you should receive the stimulus payment automatically via direct deposit. And if you proceed with filing your taxes for tax year 2019, which, as many of your listeners will know, the deadline has been extended into July. But nonetheless, if you proceed with doing that here in the coming days, you can then receive the payments via direct deposit. To the extent that you do not do that and file your taxes via traditional mail, you'll receive the check via mail in the form of a written check.
Congressman Negrus, who is falling through the cracks on this payment plan? Homeless, or are there other vulnerable populations that are falling through the cracks in this legislation?
Well, the good news is that this emergency relief check applies irrespective of whether you earn any income or not. So those listeners that might be listening in this morning who happen to no longer be working or retired, who receive Social Security or perhaps receive disability payments, they are eligible to receive these emergency relief payments. At the end of the day, we worked very hard to try to cover as many people as we could. Now, all that being said, as I said on the floor of the House of Representatives when I ultimately cast my vote in support of this bill, the bill is far from perfect. There is a lot in the bill that I would have preferred would be changed, and there's a lot that I would have liked to have included in the bill that ultimately was not, because as you said, there certainly are folks who are left behind. And when you think about our homeless population, students who happen to be declared as dependents, individuals between 17 and 24 who are declared as dependents by their parents, but nonetheless are working and trying to make ends meet, and will not receive stimulus checks as a result of the way in which they are defined under the bill. I believe that we ought to go far deeper in terms of the monetary relief that we provide to the folks in Grand County so that they can get through this pandemic. But the good news is that we're hard at work already on a fourth bill. And I'm hopeful that this fourth emergency relief bill, which I hope to see the Congress accomplish in the coming weeks, will address some of the gaps that, in my view, were left by some of the earlier iterations of the bills that we've passed.
I know we don't have hours and hours, but can you briefly say what's not good about the CARES bill?
Well, I don't know that I would say it's a matter of what's not good. I would frame it more as the provisions that I would have liked to have seen put into the CARES Act that were not. I'll give you a couple of examples. There's a local government limitation in the larger CARES Act bill that was approved that limits direct receipt of federal dollars from the Treasury to those cities and counties that have a population of more than 500,000. Cities and counties with a population lower than that are still able to access funds through the state, but they'll need to go through the state first in order to get those funds. I happen to be a strong proponent of local control and believe that local governments should be able to receive those dollars directly. Having talked to your local officials in Grand County, I know how important it is, given the decline in sales tax revenues, for example, as a result of the stay-at-home order issued and the steps that we're taking to protect our community. They're going to need backfill of revenues. And so we fought very vigorously, myself and a number of other colleagues, Republicans, Democrats, to advocate that that limitation be removed. Unfortunately, it was not. And so I'm hopeful that in the next bill, we can fix that. In addition, I think that the mortgage deferrals and the rent moratoriums that were put into place in the CARES Act are far too narrow in terms of the properties that they apply to. They are essentially, they apply exclusively to properties that are federally backed, that is to say, federally backed mortgages through, you know, FHA insurance or housing properties that receive federal assistance. There are a lot of folks who, you know, are going to struggle to be able to pay their rent and their mortgage this week. And we ought to be thinking about them and taking steps necessary to protect them and help them, again, get through this period of economic crises as we work to, you know, again, beat this pandemic.
And I know we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you really quick. I heard your 18-month-old daughter back there. How do you feel as a parent of a young child during this pandemic, and how are you coping?
Well, look, at the end of the day, my wife and I are very blessed. We're blessed to live in a wonderful community here in the Second District, in an incredible state, in the state of Colorado, and in such an incredible country, the United States, where anything is possible if we put our minds to it and we're willing to work together collaboratively. And so at the end of the day, while I'm, of course, deeply concerned about the safety and the health of everyone in our community and every one of my constituents, and of course, my own family, my daughter, Natalie, who, as you mentioned, is actually 19 months old now. But I also will say that, what we're experiencing as a community pales in comparison to what the folks who are sacrificing for us every day are experiencing. You know, the healthcare workers who are listening in Grant County, who are waking up today to go sacrifice their health and their safety to protect us and our neighbors, the grocery store workers, the delivery drivers, the first responders, police and firefighters, each and every one of them doing their part. We ought to take a moment to reflect on that and to thank them for their sacrifices and to remember those sacrifices as we interact with each other during this stressful time, to be kind to each other and remember that we're all in this together as one community.
Thank you so much for that. We have a Vox Pop question where people are calling in today saying, you know, what would you like to say to healthcare providers? So that's a perfect thing to say. Congressman Joseph Neguse, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in. And again, encourage you to contact our office. We get the best ideas from constituents. We always love to hear feedback, whether it's a suggestion, a question, a concern, a criticism. We love to hear it all. And you can go online at neguse.house.gov to get a list of both our office phone numbers as well as our relevant email address.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That was Joseph Neguse, U.S. Representative for Colorado's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Grand County. He's in his first term and taking a little bit of time to talk to us on KFFR this morning.
This is Brother Cornell West, and you are listening to KFFR 88.3 FM, Winter Park, community radio for the Fraser Valley and the headwaters of the Colorado River.